At the Export Exchange 2010 conference, I'm speaking with Dr. Robert Toller, and you are with South Dakota State University. So first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself and the kind of work that you do there.
Basically, I'm the swine extension specialist at South Dakota State University. I've been there for 22 years, work with our pork producers, also do some applied research, some of it being with DDGS, and also do some work with the U.S. Grains Council, promoting and working with international users of DDGS.
Well, I know you're going to talk here to the group about the use of DDGs in swine, and especially that there is some difference in terms of kind of when we got started doing this and today. Maybe that would be a good place to start, is just to kind of give us your thoughts on how the product has changed and what does that mean for especially this group of international buyers that are here to consider it.
And I think the huge change has been in the quality and the consistency of product coming out. Because when DDGS first hit the market 10, 15 years ago, I mean, they were selling ethanol, and there wasn't a great amount of concern with the quality of the coal product coming out of there. And then all of a sudden, I think they realized that we really do need to market this. But the bad thing was, when it first hit the international markets, it was poor quality, and people assumed US DDGS wasn't that great. And now, as throughout the last 10 or 15 years, there have been remarkable improvements in improving quality. And so if you look at the usage rate in the U.S., it's relatively high. So we just need to get those producers internationally realizing that the product that we're shipping over today is significantly better than the product they saw 10 or 15 years ago.
And how would you describe the value that this is going to bring to a country that needs to increase its protein production in an affordable way? What are some of the values and benefits that they should look to then, assuming a nice, consistent, and good quality product?
You know, when you look at DDGS, I think one of the big benefits of it would be it's an energy source. And basically, you can argue, is it better or worse than corn? But I think most people will agree that if we give it the energy value of corn, then that would be pretty close to it. So from an energy standpoint, that works very well. You know, protein, not too bad. The amino acid balance isn't as good as some other ones, but it works very well. But the one that I think that people most forget about, Chuck, is phosphorus. And for a couple of reasons. First of all, if you look at phosphorus supplementation to a diet, it's very expensive. But secondly, the cool thing is that the phosphorus in DDGS is highly available. And so if you're replacing dical or monocal with phosphorus coming from DDGS, actually you're going to have less phosphorus in the manure, it'll probably be cheaper, and plus you're going to have less environmental problems with that way. So I think, you know, the two biggies I would look at is from energy standpoint and kind of the unforgotten one of phosphorus.
What do you think these, especially from some of these other countries, what is it they most want to know right now?
You know, I think, again, they want some more assurances on quality, and there is some interest on, you know, how much higher can we go? You know, because again, they you know, a lot of them are at 5 to 10% inclusion rate in swine diets. You know, and if you look in the United States, I would say on the grow finish side, we're probably 20 to 30. In 2008, 2009, when the hog market was in the tank, you know, people are going at 60% of the diet and still working. So we just have to get them to realize that, you know, there's nothing magical we're doing in the States to make that 30% or even 20% work. And if you look at the potential cost savings to those international markets, you know, the challenge is to get one or two people utilizing it, having great success, and then letting the word spread in country.
Well, that's part of what we're trying to do, is help get that word out there. Any other thoughts in terms of using this ethanol production byproduct in swine that we didn't touch on that might be of interest?
One of the things, and again, hopefully it was just an aberration, was last year's corn crop. In the United States, there was a lot of mycotoxins in it, especially in the eastern corn belt, not so much on the western corn belt. And again, you know, bad news travels a lot faster than good news. And so again, it's once people get something in their mind, then they think it's always an issue. And that's even before last year, I'd always get questions about mycotoxins in U.S. corn and U.S. DDGS. And so I think the big challenge will be educating our international clients is that the 2010 crop looks great. I mean, yield may be a little down, but from a quality standpoint, it's really good, and that's going to transfer into really good quality DDGS with no mycotoxins. So and you know, the thing is that we're looking at the Asian markets, and it's hot and humid, and they deal with mycotoxins every day. And so it's probably a little difficult for them to understand that our grain source, for the most part, is free of it. And so getting them to realize that it's a safe product to use.
Very good point, very good point. And I want to thank you very much for talking to me here. That's Dr. Robert Toller with South Dakota State University. We're at the Export Exchange 2010 conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.